In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, on Passion Sunday, this Sunday, St. Francis de Sales would have us consider, more profoundly than usual, the nature of our prayer. The purpose, the end of prayer, is union with God. And all who are on the way to salvation can and ought to pray. But there remains a question. Can the prayers of sinners, that is, all of us, can these prayers be heard by God? What a silly question, Canon Norman. Perhaps you're thinking to yourselves, well, if you read a little bit of St. Alphonsus Liguori, you might not be so sure. But St. Francis de Sales is going to expose this question for us today on the note of hope. Do you remember what was said by the man born blind, who is mentioned in the Gospel, in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, whose sight our Lord restored? He said to those who questioned him that God does not hear sinners. But St. Francis de Sales says in response, "Let him say it, for he was still speaking as a blind man." We must realize that there are three kinds of sinners. Yes, even among sinners, there is a hierarchy. There are impenitent sinners, sinners who are not really sorry for the sins they've committed. Then there are penitent sinners who are sorrowful. And finally, justified sinners. Now, it is an assured fact that impenitent sinners are not heard by God at all. Seeing that they wish to wallow in their sins, moreover, their prayers are an abomination before God. He himself made this clear when he said to those who said to him, "Why do we fast and afflict ourselves and you take no note of it?" In the prophet Isaiah, in the 58th chapter, in response, God said, "Your fasts, your mortifications, and your festivals are an abomination to me, since in the midst of all these things, your hands are stained with blood." The prayer of such sinners cannot be good because no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Ghost, as St. Paul teaches us in his first epistle to the Corinthians. And no one can call God Father unless he has been adopted by God as his son. The sinner who wishes to remain in his sin is unable to pronounce the sovereign name of our Lord because he does not have the Holy Ghost in him. The Holy Ghost does not dwell in a heart stained by sin. Moreover, no one comes to the Father but in virtue of his Son's name. He himself has said that whatever we ask his Father in his name, we shall obtain. The prayers of the impenitent sinner, therefore, are not agreeable to God at all. But then, let us come to the next category, the penitent sinner. Without doubt, St. Francis de Sales goes so far as to say, we are even wrong to call him a sinner, for he is no longer so since he already detests his sin. And if indeed the Holy Ghost is not yet in his heart by residence, he is nevertheless there by assistance. Who do you think gives him this repentance for having offended God, if not the Holy Ghost? Since we would not know how to have a good thought toward our salvation if he did not give it to us. But has this poor man not done anything on his part? He certainly has. Listen to the words of King David. "Lord, you looked on me when I was still in the quagmire of my sin. You opened my heart, and I did not close it. You have drawn me, and I have not let go. You have urged me, and I have not turned back." So we have plenty of proof that the prayers of penitent sinners are agreeable to the Divine Majesty. But let us content ourselves with the example of the humble publican who went up to the temple, a sinner, and came back down from it justified, thanks to the humble prayer that he made. What about the matter of our prayer, the subject of prayer? Well, this is to ask of God all that is good, quite simply. But we must understand that there are two kinds of goods, spiritual and temporal, or material. There are these two kinds of goods, and in the category of spiritual goods, one kind is necessary for our salvation, and these we ought to ask God for simply and unconditionally, for he wants to give them to us. We know this infallibly. But the other kind, although spiritual, we ought to ask for under the same conditions as material goods. That is, only if it be God's will and if it is for his greater glory. With these conditions, we may ask for anything. The spiritual goods which are necessary for our salvation, I think you know them already. They are, of course, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, as well as the other virtues which lead to these, all the other virtues. But the other spiritual goods, which are granted to a certain number of the saints, include ecstasies, raptures, spiritual comforts, and consolations, none of which we ought to ask for except conditionally, because they are not at all necessary for our salvation. There are those who think that if they were gifted with wisdom, they would be much more capable of loving God. But that's simply not so. There is the anecdote of a holy religious, Brother Giles, who once went to the great Saint Bonaventure and said to him, "How happy you are, my father, to be so learned, for you can love God far better than we who are ignorant." Then Saint Bonaventure, this great theologian, told him that the knowledge did not help him at all in loving God, and that a simple peasant woman was capable of loving God as much as the most learned man in the world. Who does not see the delusion of those who are always after their spiritual father, God, in order to complain that they experience none of these tender feelings and consolations in prayer? Do you not see that if you had them, you would most likely not escape vainglory and pride? Nor would you be able to prevent your self-love from being pleased with itself because of them, and that you would end in amusing yourself more with the gifts of God than with God himself. Thus, if God does not give them to you at all, it is a great mercy, and you must not lose courage on that account. Since perfection does not consist in having spiritual consolations and affections, but in having our will united to that of God. It is this that we may and ought to ask from God unconditionally. In the Old Testament, Tobit, who was already old and wishing to set his affairs in order, commanded his son to go to another land and get a sum of money which was owed him. For this purpose, he gave him a signed document with which the money could not be refused him. We must do likewise when we wish to ask of the Eternal Father his paradise, or an increase in our faith, or of his love, all of which he wishes to grant us. We have to bring, so to speak, the signed document of his eternal Son. That is, we must always ask in the name and through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.